Declare the meeting open at 3:01 PM. So I have an apology from Mayor Wayne Johnson and Councillor Michael Kelly. No further apologies?
No.
And so I'll just read the acknowledgement to the country. So I begin today by acknowledging the Palitore and Paniher past peoples and traditional owners and custodians of the land on which we gather today. I pay my respect to elders past and present. I extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people here today. Let's have a confirmation of the minutes and a mover for that. Thank you, Councillor Warnoff. A seconder? I'm going to go Councillor Loader. Does anyone like to go speak against, or I just move? Could I have all those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Motion is unanimous. It's carried. Any declaration of interest?
No declarations of interest received, Deputy Mayor.
And you've read the council workshop that is in the agenda. Thank you. I'm going to move on now to Mayor and Council reports, and I just want to begin by passing on my condolences to our Mayor Wayne Johnson on the passing of his father last week. The Mayor's father was actually a councillor on Deloraine Council many years ago and has spent a lot of time serving the community. So just on behalf of council and council staff, I'd like to pass on my condolences to Wayne and Lisa and the family. And I'd like to invite Councillor House, who has some comments he'd like to make.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Yes, I've got the great honour of being able to pass on some information about the late Neil Johnson. And his photo is right behind us on the wall here when he represented the Deloraine Council. So the Mayor was good enough to send this through. It's an honour to read it. It was something that was written by his granddaughter some 13 years ago, when she was putting in a nomination for his Order of Australia medal, which he ended up receiving. So I'm reading this verbatim on behalf of a very loving granddaughter and our Mayor's daughter, of course. I am nominating my grandfather, Neil Johnson, for this award, as I feel his lifetime of voluntary involvement and services to his community deserves to be recognised. He has worked all his life in the Meander area. He began as a labourer on a farm at the age of 13, then worked in the bush for the local sawmill before he and his father purchased their first farm, which is now expanded into four local farms owned by his son, that is our Mayor, of course, and his family. He began serving his town and surrounding area at a young age, and to this day, bearing in mind this is 13 years ago, and things may have been progressing since then, and to this day is continually being an active member of the community, and there's a series of dot points here. By becoming chairman of the Reform Meander Cricket Club at the age of 75, which has seen the local cricket pitch brought back to life with regular cricket matches. I'm reading verbatim here. Pop began his involvement in community organisations with the Meander Football Club. At the age of 13, he joined as a player and is now a life member and holding such positions as committee member, trainer and vice chairman. In 1953-54, Pop completed his 2 years of national service to his country, which involved travelling to Hobart for extended periods for his training. Following from this, he was an original member of the Meander Fire Brigade when it formed in 1972. Within the brigade, he took the role of deputy and brigade chief in addition to receiving a national service award. He gave 25 years of service to this volunteer brigade. After 51 years, Pop is still an active member of the Meander Hall Committee, of which he was chairman for 25 years and received a Meander Valley Council Community Award for his efforts. He is an original and current member of 21 years in Meander Progress Association. Within the association, he's been a committee member and held various office bearer positions. The Meander Progress Association's goal is to present a clean and tidy township, working with Meander Valley Council and other local groups, for example, local school, church and fire brigade. Pop is an original member and after 12 years is still a current member of the Meander Resource Management Group, of which he was the vice chairman for 8 years. The Meander Resource Management Group was formed to protect the history and current values of the Meander farming and forest industries. In 2000, he became a member of the Meander Valley Council, Meander Valley Council nominated Meander Dam Committee, which he remained a part of until 2007. The successful lobbying of state and federal governments resulted in the construction of the Meander Dam. The Meander Dam's construction has greatly benefited not just the local community, but all areas that Meander River passes through. In particular, this has been advantageous to farmers. It should be noted that he pursued this project for his fellow farmers and the greater community. He was also an elected member of the Deloraine Council, as I mentioned, Meander Ward for 7 years. He was chairman of the Reserves Council and Machinery Council within Deloraine Council. Pop was committee member of the Chesant Drainage Trust for 7 years, which maintained the drains of a large area of private land within the Meander and Montana districts. He was also an active member of the Meander Basketball Baptist Church League for 10 years, the Meander Badminton Club and the Tasmanian Axemen's Association. And finally, she goes on to say, even though I may be biased, I'm not aware of any other individual that has given as much time and effort to their community while never seeking any financial gain or recognition. So thank you for the honour of being able to read that out.
Thank you, Councillor House. Is there any other council that would like to make a comment? Councillor Sinfield?
If I may, very brief and doesn't compare with that, but I've known the gentleman for well over 40 years as a young adult, having purchased palings and rails for fences at home in my early 20s. So sadly, that's more than 40 years ago. Scary. And my most recent extensive interaction with him was to go with former councillor Rodney Linger up into the Huntsman for an extended look, where he was pointing out some of the history and things of the early era where the wooden railway existed, and showed us, you know, some remnant bits of that. And I guess the most important thing I'd like to say is always found him a perfect gentleman.
Thank you, Councillor Smithfield. So just looking at the Mayor and Council reports, I would just take them as noted, unless anyone else has something they'd like to add to those.
Okay.
Councillor Loder? One more time. Just try pressing it quickly. Yep, I've got it.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I would like to congratulate Westbury Play Gym on their recent 25th birthday. This is a unique experience for families and preschoolers, and in a world where children are losing their fitness and strength, Play Gym provides an opportunity to climb, run, crawl through tunnels, engage in imaginative play, and generally zoom around a lot. It also provides a place for young families to meet and become friends. Play Gym has been managed by volunteers with the support of Families Tasmania. And a huge thank you to the very, very many volunteers who over the years have contributed to this amazing low-cost event that's fun and free. Oh, no, sorry, it's got a small cost. forgot about that. And all this, of course, contributes to better educational outcomes for children in the Meander Valley. And one other birthday, Westbury Town Common Park Run celebrated its first birthday 2 weeks ago. And in that time, there have been 52 events, and there have been 2,552 people cross the finish line, and there have been 117 people volunteer. Parkrun tourism is a real thing. People come specifically to Meander Valley to do parkrun. It's a global phenomenon. So we're so lucky to have it here in our area, and I particularly want to note the contribution of Mark and Em, who worked for years to bring this to our Meander Valley community. So, yes, come along and find out what it's all about. It's very inclusive, and in a world where loneliness is becoming an epidemic, it's a great way to make new friends. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Dutton.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. And I too would like to pass on my condolences to the Mayor and the Johnson family. Today I'd like to acknowledge the volunteers who make the Deloraine Market the great event that it is. I was fortunate to attend the market last Saturday with the Yes 23 campaign team, and what I saw was what is quickly becoming one of Tasmania's best community markets. It's got a great range of produce, from artisan cheese to your veggies, seafood, some great baked goods, and of course the traditional plants, bric-a-brac and antiques. And the volunteers there do an excellent job in putting that together. So I wanted to just take a moment to acknowledge them and the work they do. A lot of people are coming into the Meander Valley to visit the market, and of course they stick around for a coffee and shop and a look afterwards. So it's a great local event, and congratulations to those who make it such a great event.
Thank you. I'll just go to Councillor Temple and I'll back to you, Councillor House.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'd like to compliment our staff on what I realised last week is a job very well done. Last week I was in Victoria. I did a couple of thousand kilometres all over the place. I thought of the great job that's being done here every time I ran into a pothole, and there were thousands of them. I couldn't believe how many of them there are. There were also drains that were blocked, gutters that were full of stuff that had obviously been there for months, if not longer. Dim street lighting at night, where ours is, you can see where you're going. You couldn't see where you were going with the street light available in most places I was at. It was reminded me of China in the 1980s. So it's a job well done. And I wondered, since coming back, if the problem over there is their councils are so big they don't know which roads they have. So, thank you.
Thank you. Councillor House.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Yes, just like to mention that on Saturday I was able to attend the opening of Reed Estate. It was pretty short notice, and I'm sorry that we weren't able to all get there, but it's really quite an exciting concept. There's some, for those who aren't quite sure of Reed Estate, it's a joint Tyler Village, named after Henry Reed, and I do have a brochure that I'm just going to leave there for those who want to have a look, but they're well on the way of having 65 home units there, a combination of two and three bedroom, a magnificent community facility. You know, amazing, really. So for those who might have the opportunity to see the substage, it's really worth looking at. And of course, it's a real very positive addition to our municipality for community living and retirement living. So I'll just leave that there for those who might want to have a look. Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
Thank you. Are there any further councillor announcements? If not, I can move on to petitions. Any petitions?
No petitions received, if you may.
Any community representations?
None today.
So public question time. Craig, not feeling the need? Nev? No? Beauty. Very kind of you. Thank you. Councillor question time. Oh, Councillor House, you were first.
Sorry, a question without notice.
That's very well.
Thank you. Just to put it on the record, I guess, and to perhaps see where it might lead from there. We did talk about it in the pre-meeting. I have had contact from a person on behalf of the owner of Unit 2, number 10 Lonsdale Promenade, not too far from here at all, only a couple hundred metres down. That particular person feels that there is some danger in the trees. There are some elm trees that are, in her thoughts anyway, somewhat dangerous. And I've spoken to Councillor Temple about it this morning. He has some knowledge of it as well. But I just want to put on the record that there has been some discussion there whether these elm trees are heritage listed and the like. But the person living in that unit, certainly, or in that home, certainly feels at risk. So it's a safety issue from her point of view. So I would, I'm not exactly sure what the council involvement is. I don't think it's a great deal from what I can gather. But I'd just like to put on the record and see what we can do to expedite that process and get any information that we can to assist with that.
Thanks, Councillor House. I might just ask John Harmy if he might be able to provide you with a response. Thank you.
Yes, thanks for the question, Councillor House. I know that there's been some concern from some adjoining residences about the trees on private residence. I'll invite the Director of Development and Regulatory Services to speak to the matter. She's been looking into dealing with people over time about that.
Thank you.
Yes, we have had interaction with the property owner and some of the surrounding property owners regarding the elm trees. It has been established that they are on private property, not on heritage listed property. Therefore, the Heritage Council has no involvement in their management. And it's also been established that there's no requirements under the planning scheme for us to issue a planning permit for their removal. So it's up to the property owner to progress with what they choose.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. So, any other questions, councillors? Did you have one again, Councillor Temple? Sorry, and then I'll go to you.
Firstly, Deputy Mayor, my usual question regarding any developments regarding the proposed prison.
I haven't, but Attraction General Manager, have you had any updates?
No, Deputy Mayor. There's been no correspondence with council officers in the last 2 weeks.
Thank you. And secondly, some months ago, I moved a motion concerning swapping a proposed prison for a stadium, and a letter, I believe, was to be sent to the Premier on that regard. Have we received a response to that letter?
John?
I'll take the question on notice, Councillor. I'm aware that the Mayor did provide a letter down to the State Government following up on the notice of motion. But I haven't. I'll have to review our reports to see if the response is received.
Councillor Dodd?
I'll take yours. Through you, Madam Deputy Mayor. It's more of a question of curiosity in regards to Councillor House's question regarding the elm tree. I notice as I drive down King Street on the Lonsdale Promenade, there is an elm tree held together with a ratchet strap. Is it possible to provide a bit of background in relation to that elm and the future processes of maintaining its structure?
Thank you. I think Matthew Millwood would like to answer that question. Thank you.
Through you. Deputy Mayor, not quite sure whether I want to answer that question. I'd like to answer. I will answer that question. Look, the tree has been strapped to tension. It was done professionally. So our trees across our parks and streets are independently audited for safety every 3 years, and the most recent one has only been in the last 6 months. And certainly there is no concern that's been raised in relation to the configuration of the strapping or the longevity of the tree. So it's my understanding from an agricultural background, I'm not an agriculturalist, but certainly that's an accepted method of managing the tree. Councillor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? Councillor
Sinfield. If I may, I might need the director back again. I'm really just flagging these. This is following my attendance at the Blackstone Heights Community News Association meeting last week. They raised four issues with me. One is line marking. I know we've done some line marking in that Blackstone Heights area, but they were concerned about the proximity of deep drains further along Blackstone Heights as you're heading Blackstone Road as you're heading west. So they raised the issue of line marking. They raised an issue which they've raised before, and that is quote unquote muck on the road where the casino development is in the main road in. Flagged, pardon the pun, the issue of signage at Country Club Corner for directing people to Blackstone Heights. Lots of people apparently find it very difficult to find out where Blackstone Heights actually is, and that question is a two-part one, because they're saying that people get along roughly to where the dog park is and, you know, give up, not quite sure how much further to go to either Blackstone Heights General or to Blackstone Heights Park, further down by the river. So they're basically saying they'd like some signage to address that issue. And the fourth one is a comment was made about the size of the car park at the dog park needs enlargement.
That's a lot in that. Thanks, Councillor Simfield. I think Acton GM had some comments to make.
Well, I think a lot of those are suggestions or comments, so we'll take those on board and look at development opportunities in the future, whether they be maintenance or capital.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, so no further questions. Council will now move into acting as a planning authority. And I don't know if that's all I have to say because I'm not very good at this. Where is it? Oh. Red paper. I like paper. Poor Riz. I'm going to blame Riz. I'll be really sad. It's just a little bit I'm doing. Hang on, everyone, just have a little pause. Is it not on there?
It's on the agenda.
It's not on my bit of paper, but it's on. Just that top sentence. Mm-hmm. Oh, I can do that. Yeah. I'm back. So Council's now acting as a planning matter. In planning matters, Council acts as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 and follows, and the following applies. Do I need to read all of that? No. Thank you. So we have a community representative here. So, Martin? Oh, good. Sorry. Martin Boo?
Ford.
Oh, thank you, librarian. If you could state your name and where you're from, and you have 3 minutes to speak, but I think we'll be fairly quick today. So, thank you.
The Reverend Dr. Martin Ford. I'm a resident of Westbury and a voter. Now, there have been a lot of developments lately, quite out of keeping with this town. Every little corner seems to be jam-packed with as many residences, so-called, as you can fit onto the parcel of land. And this may square with the regulations or the allowable limits set in the big cities, but here in this rural community, it really is unsuitable. I walk around Westbury every day for an hour or so, and I see these things with horror, and I meet many other people who also view them with complete horror. They look at the usage of the little plots and the overcrowding that's moving in, and wonder how it's possible that anybody can allow such a thing. Now, when I say, why can't we protest? I get the answer, oh, well, you know, it ticks the boxes and the council are just going to allow it, whatever you say. But surely, you councillors are, you have the authority, you have the right, and I would say you have the responsibility to care about what the people living here have to say. And the people living here unanimously, I've not met a single person who disagrees with this, unanimously say, it's too much, it's too crowded, it doesn't fit, it's not suitable, it's not what we want in Westbury. Few houses here, few houses there is fine, of course. We're not, nobody's opposed to growth, but this clogging of every little space is ridiculous. When cells multiply and try to grow too much in a small space, it's called cancer. When the gut gets blocked up. It's called constipation. It's unhealthy. It's not what we want. It's not good for this environment. It's just really quite ridiculous. You can surely do something about it, even if it ticks the boxes for living in a city. Now, I spent years living in England, and I'm well aware that these crowded little units, you know, groups of units, are not much different from what we would find in England. England is a tiny place, and it's really crowded, and people are used to living like that. And when a community is clogged up like that, the council provides relief, amenities to deal with it. So every little town, every big town, every community in England will have allotments for people so that they can go and have some garden space that they don't have at home. People have to live in flats, people have to live in cramped units, and so they turn to the council and say, look, I need to breathe some fresh air, I need to go out in the garden, I don't have a garden. The council says, we've got an allotment for you. Maybe you have to put your name on a waiting list because everybody wants an allotment space. But the time comes, you get your chance and you can have a few years. You can have as long as you like. Once you're in, you're in. And if you decide to leave or die or whatever happens, then the next person can come. But at least there is some freedom of movement and some air to breathe. In Westbury, for some reason, this lovely little town that everybody who lives here enjoys as a lovely little town to live in, somehow it's changing. The first units I noticed going up were on the corner of King Street and Jones. Somebody sold off half their garden and two units were put up there. Two units, not too bad. They were nicely sited and they faced the other way and each had a little bit of garden. A modern developer is going to try and get three or four units in that kind of space. And the garden under discussion today was just somebody's backyard. It's got six units. Can we put up the slide, please, of that?
No, unfortunately, sorry. I will have to ask you to wrap it up as well. We've just gone over the 3 minutes, but I'll let you have a little bit longer if you'd like to.
Council have noticed that there's a problem with this plot. They say it might flood, it gets very damp. So just raise the buildings up a little, you know, stick them on stilts, 30 centimetres or so should do it. But anyway, it's not really safe. So what about the water table? There's no care for that. It's just stick your houses on stilts. The council also noticed, well, actually, I don't think we can deal with the dustbins of these places. So tell you what, just get a private contractor to deal with your waste management. That's ridiculous. I think that's insane, and I've never met anybody, I don't mean anybody in Westbury, who thinks it's a good idea what's going on. So what is the council doing? Surely you have the right to say, all right, build in this place if you must, but let's have a sensible amount of dwellings. Actually, I live in a unit. I live in a unit that a modern developer, who they're all so pretty, would put six, seven houses on. We've got three. And the three are nicely situated. They're not crammed up to each other. They are open a little bit of an angle from each other. We've got space in, we've got space out, we've got garden space. Everything is just fine. Three units in what was a backyard.
Thank you for that, Dr. Brood. I think a lot of the councils will probably have quite a few questions as well, which I think I might help answer some of it. So we might move on to the planning item now.
Well, it seems that the council have already made up their mind and they're just going to allow it through. And this is wrong. We voters don't think you're doing a good job. Now, I'm glad to hear the council commended for the good jobs that they are doing, but you need a kick up the backside for the bad jobs that you're doing too. And this is a bad job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Martin.
Thank you. So, is there a mover for that motion? Thank you, Councillor Dudman. Seconder, Councillor Donoff. Thank you. As a mover of the motion, Councillor Dudman, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Yes, I do. First of all, thank you to the representative for what you had to say. I actually agree with the majority of what you've said. I have long held a problem with the planning scheme and the density levels that are allowing these developments through. I will be supporting this application, however, because it does meet the planning scheme. I don't agree that it should meet the planning scheme, but as it is written, it does, and that is outside my control. When we talk about authority and the power that we do have power to make discretionary decisions. However, if it fits the planning scheme as prescribed, then if we vote against it, it will simply go to a tribunal, we will lose, and the ratepayers will pay tens of thousands of dollars for that decision. And that doesn't sit well on my conscience. So if there was a discretion which would allow me to vote against this application, I certainly would. However, there isn't, and so I unfortunately have to take a pragmatic view, which is why I will be supporting the application.
Thank you. Councillor Donoff.
Not much more from me. Just thank you very much for your representation. I do also agree in part with what Councillor Dudman has suggested. I unfortunately refute the comment that Council aren't doing a good job on this matter. As mentioned by Councillor Dudman, we are here to protect again the community. In part, this is also with regard to the fees that we would be accustomed to if we didn't support the recommendations of our qualified advice. So, I will be supporting this proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Donoff. Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor, and thank you, Reverend Dr. Board. I agree with what you're saying too. I'm acutely aware that this week is Homelessness Week, and Tasmania needs more houses for people who are experiencing disadvantage. I'm acutely aware of that. But I don't believe that squishing a whole lot of little tiny units onto a block is going to help this situation. I think we need to have balance. We need new homes, but we also need space. One thing that the Land Use Planning and Planning Approvals Act does not take into account is the fact that Westbury is a wildlife hotspot. And with every unit development like this, even though LUPA says it's okay, we are slowly taking away wildlife habitat. We have the eastern barred bandicoot that we might think is prolific here, but it is actually endangered. And speaking of hotspots, if you saw the news on Sunday night, you would have seen that the USA is experiencing a phenomenal heat wave. And one of the contributing factors to discomfort is the amount of concrete and built up areas. And there they are trying to fix that by painting stuff on roads to make the roads cooler. Well, I say, let's not build so many roads here. Let's learn about what's going on around us in the world and not contribute to climate change. But Lupa says, this is okay. And finally, I'm now aware that there is some road development for Taylor Street coming up, proposed, I think is the right word to use, in the 2024-2025 Capital Works Program, I think I'm right. I've got that right, yep. But at the moment, Taylor Street's basically just a little goat track. And with McCutcheon Court coming online soon and this development, I'm not very good at maths, but I think that makes 19 new dwellings in that block that will all have to access Taylor Street. And it is the key access to the school. So it is a really perplexing place as a councillor to be, because I agree with what Councillor Dudman has said, and I do thank the planners, and the planners have only done their job with what they've got, and it must be a really, really, really difficult thing. But hand on heart, I cannot support this motion. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other councillors? Councillor Temple.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. I'd like to refer us to page 28, which has an aerial photograph of the proposed development. And I look at just down the page, on a similar size plot, the three houses that have been built with gardens around. Those houses afford people gardens, a totally different lifestyle to what this new proposed development provides. One presumes the developer of the three houses made a profit. I'm finding it very difficult these days to just go along with developments that I really wonder if they're in the community interest. I hear what the planning scheme has to say. I'm aware of the character of Westbury. I think as more and more of these happen, the character of Westbury will change. I don't think we're ready for that. I don't think we've considered what those changes will mean. I see more and more of these developments where there's not enough parking within the site. There's enough according to the planning scheme, but people are parking on nature strips. That alters the look and feel of the community. I think the community out there believes that we as councillors have the power to decide these things. And they would be shocked if they realised that we didn't. They believe there should be some authority out there that is acting in their best interest. Is the interest that is being acted in only that of the developer? We hear the Premier talk about the builders. We all want to see quality things built, but we need to build a sustainable, desirable society in Tasmania. We're not short of land. There is plenty of land for developments. It's not like England, where they've run out of it, and they have tight town boundaries, so there's a high-density development on one side of the fence and a farm on the other, nothing in between, because they need to produce food and they need to house people. We're not at that stage. Hopefully we're 1,000 years away from that. I just find this totally uncomfortable, and I think Dr. Board pointed that out in abundant clarity for us today.
Thanks, Councillor Temple. I just had a... I can go to you, Councillor Simford, if you'd like to. I saw you had a hand up. I had a question, unless you're going to ask it yourself. So.
Well, I'm going to ask a number of questions. Firstly, on page 22, the top of the page, it talks about the unit development is unlikely to be able to be serviced by council's curbside waste contractor. What does that mean, you know, given that it's a permit note? What does that mean from a legal point of view and in terms of council's responsibility or otherwise by using a term of unlikely?
Who would like to answer that one?
So we've got the team leader of town planning to speak to it. However, I mean, I guess this is consistent with other applications that we have seen and others within the municipality, that at times the contractor, our curbside bin collection contractor, can't access the property. And I think that the width of the frontage to Taylor Street is a restriction in that, but...
Through you, Deputy Mayor, the legal requirements in relation to that note, it is that it is only an advisory note. So it is giving the developer the indication that they won't be able to receive a curbside collection by putting bins on the road. Rather, they need to engage with our infrastructure department to determine how their waste is going to be disposed of from that site.
So a follow-up, is that indicating that it is not legally possible to put the wheelie bins out on the road, even, you know, if that it might have to go in front of someone else's property?
Through you, Deputy Mayor and Councillors, Director of Infrastructure Services might jump in here in a moment, but my understanding is that when we're looking at curbside collection, we're looking at the distance of frontage that a property is afforded. Now, if that width is not wide enough to be able to place the bins in front of that property, then generally an alternate arrangement is determined.
Yes, through you, Deputy Mayor. Look, it's a position we've taken across a number of projects, developments. We don't want to create a situation where we have numerous infill developments with bins at the front of neighbouring properties. I think that's going to create quite an unmanageable issue for council in terms of complaints as well into the future, and parking issues as well for neighbours. So we've taken, an internal position to create more developments recently with the same intent around how the garbage contractor collects bins and things like that. So we're just trying that note, just making it quite clear to the applicant that they have to arrange potentially private collection if our contractor doesn't access the property. So in some instances, our contractor may enter into an arrangement, so they're covered from an insurance perspective to access private property. That we ask for them to sort of force that on our contractor to do that.
Okay.
Thank you. Do you have a follow-up question?
Yes. Would that indicate, therefore, that there isn't room on the property for a truck, a standard garbage truck, to actually enter and leave and collect the rubbish from the site?
Depends how big the truck is. I think it's more to do with the frontage, Councillor Simfield, versus happens.
Next question's got to do with page, again, permit notes, page 21. It says that stormwater detention is required for lot one of this development, which is the existing dwelling, but there doesn't seem to be anything indicating that it needs to, and I know that's probably to do with the lay of the land, but there is no, I didn't notice anything there. To go back a step, permit note 3 says that stormwater detention is required for lot 1 of this development. Please see attached letter, which we haven't got a copy of, but I understand why that may be the case. There is no comment there, is there, in relation to, can we get a comment about stormwater detention not being required for where the 6 dwellings are going, given the amount of hard stand and roof area of those dwellings going on that block? I understand that may well be more to do with the lay of the land than anything, but I would like some input on that, please.
Deputy Mayor, that is actually a topographical error in that note. It is actually note 2, lot 2, sorry, is meant to have the stormwater detention rather than lot 1, so we can move an amendment to amend that note to reflect it being note lot 2 rather than lot 1.
Okay.
I just had a question. Thank you. Thank you very much, everybody, for your comments. And I think it is a difficult one for all councillors all the time when we're acting as a community representative as well as a planning authority. They are two different hats we wear, and it's a very, very difficult, I know, for myself and I'm sure for other councillors around the table on occasions. But I had a question to Krista and to George. George, we spoke before a little bit about how that you work out private open space, and a lot of the conversations have been around private open space. I was just wondering if you might be able to run through that for the benefit of those in the room.
Certainly. Through you, Deputy Mayor. Is density as well and private open space? Yeah. So in terms of probably first and foremost, the provisions that we're dealing with are captured within the general residential zone of the Tasmanian Planning Scheme. And the Tasmanian Planning Scheme mandates that all land zoned general residential need to comply with these standards, and they've been developed and effectively applied to all council planning schemes. So there's limited wriggle room. In terms of density, the scheme says that we need to have a site area per dwelling not less than 325 square metres, so one dwelling per 325 square metres. In this instance, with lot two, which is an internal lot, the calculation is based on excluding the access strip, effectively being the strip of land prior to the guest parking, if you're looking at one of the site plans. And then we calculate the area, the number of dwellings per the area of that. That gives us a site area per dwelling of one dwelling per 388 square metres. So within the context of the planning scheme, we satisfy that density provision and therefore, for want of a better term, and it's been used already, it's ticking the box. On top of the density, the scheme also requires a certain amount of private open space. Private open space can be captured within a site itself, or it can be for the exclusive use of individual dwellings. In this instance, proposed development has provided private open space for each individual dwelling. There's two requirements. One is that there's a mandatory minimum area of 24 square metres. That needs to be a minimum of 4 metres in length. In this instance, we've got effectively 4 by 6 metres and in a location that's accessible from the dwelling. The second component is having an area of private open space that's no less than 60 square metres. Now, it has been noted that particular number hasn't been identified within the planning report, which was missed out. In terms of the total area of private open space, which is based on the landscaping plan and determined by the internal fencing, I'll just run through these numbers. So we have unit one sitting at 122 square metres, unit two sitting at 129 square metres, unit three at 122 square metres, unit four at 127 square metres, unit five at 157 square metres, and unit six at 171 square metres. So each of those areas of private open space is double the requirement of the scheme, which is 60 square metres. So, under the terms of the planning scheme, both the density requirements and the requirements for private open space have been satisfied through the acceptable solution.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Deputy Mayor, before we go back to questions, should we move? Well, I don't know. I'll take advice whether we are required to move the amendment. Otherwise, it's amenable to myself, and I'm sure.
Yes, I was going to ask yourself
and that note three be changed so that lot two is referenced rather than lot one with relation to the stormwater as per Councillor Sinfield's question and a subsequent answer.
If I may, because to that direct point, if you're going to do that, I'd like clarification first, because I'm wondering now how that interacts with the permit condition 11.
I'll just confirm, Councillor Doran, are you happy with that change from 1 to 2 on point 3?
Yes.
All permits issued by the permit authority or public documents member of the public. Is that what? Oh, so you're wondering if that might have.
No, I'm saying that if that's now lot 2, I don't have a problem with that at all, is the wording of 11 compatible with of permit? Condition 11 compatible with the change that you're making to the permit note 2, because 11 is saying simply that stormwater runoff from the driveway and the new building area, so I take that to mean the roofed area, is to be captured and directed to the public stormwater system so that concentrated or nuisance flows do not cross the property boundaries. So I guess the question is the word captured going to deal with that which is in permit or will now be, or is likely to be now be installed in permit note 3?
George, happy to answer that. Thank you.
Through you, Deputy Mayor. Having a review of the condition number 11, And note three, there won't be any conflict. So the condition, which is obviously one that needs to be complied with, is simply saying that all of the runoff from roofed areas and driveways needs to be captured and then directed into the public stormwater system. The note, which is note three, relating to stormwater detention on lot two, that affects that the detention is the capture of the water, so it'll be captured within this detention solution. And then from the detention solution, the stormwater makes its way out into the public's stormwater system, which is presumably within the road. And what the stormwater detention system does is it's just to slow the flow of water into the public stormwater system. So there won't be any conflict with that amendment of note three.
Thank you. I'm keen to go back to the mover and seconder. Councillor House, did you have any comments? You're the only one that hasn't said anything yet.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Look, a few comments, if I may. First of all, thank you, Dr. Board, for your thoughts. They were very sincere and pretty hard to disagree with just about everything you've said there, I've got to say. But it's kind of interesting that on both sides of this discussion, I really can't find any disagreement with anyone. I think the points that you've made against this proposal are very sound, and the points in favour, particularly from you, Councillor Dunman, that by not agreeing to this puts ratepayers' money at risk, which is a great responsibility for us. We just seem to have a bit of a dilemma here in terms of density. It's an ongoing dilemma that we have to face more often than not. And I have some discomfort with the density provisions, I've got to say. I agree with just about all the comments saying that would I be happier if there were less units in that particular area? I think yes, I would. However, it is a very difficult situation we find ourselves in. It does cause me some discomfort, as I'm sure it does everyone. And, you know, unless there's some changes to the planning scheme going forward, I think we're going to find ourselves on, you know, going through this debate over and over, or this discussion. I will be supporting it, but it causes me discomfort to do it. I would like to see a world where there is not such high density building, I've got to say, particularly in places like Westbury. So I thank the representative, and I do appreciate all the comments you've made, sir. But I will, notwithstanding that, be supporting the motion.
Thank you. Now, I'm just going to confirm with the mover and the seconder. You're happy to accept the change on point three to lot two? Confirming
yes,
that?
Yes,
thank
yes.
you. And Councillor Dornoff, as the seconder of the motion, do you have anything further to add?
Through you, Madam Deputy Mayor. Thank you for explanations, George. I've just listened to a little bit of the rhetoric from around the table, and I must sincerely reiterate, I suppose, the need to urge caution in making a decision against planning advice based on council opinion. I think there's no real discussion that everyone at the table is has some issues in terms of the density of this proposal, but we are here to make a decision on the one permit application. If we are strong in feeling against the density specific regulations of the state planning scheme, I think as a council we should write to the state. But again, referring back to this individual application, we must accept the merits that it's based upon and the qualified advice. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I will be accepting the advice.
Councillor Dunn.
Yeah, I would absolutely reiterate what I said as well. You know, I spent 21 of my 25 years in Westbury. I grew up on a 5-acre block, and that was Westbury to me growing up. So it does have an emotive cause to me as well. But the choice before us is quite simple. We approve the development application because it meets the criteria set out in the planning scheme, or we reject it. It goes to the tribunal and then it is approved, which means we get the development regardless, and we also get a bill of tens of thousands of dollars, which I am not comfortable imposing upon the ratepayer. If I felt that there was an argument against this application, I'd be more than happy to take it to the tribunal. I am not backwards in having a fight, but there isn't one here. So I would absolutely reiterate the point that Councillor Dornoff made, which is if we are not happy with the planning scheme, as I am not, then we should be advocating to the Tasmanian Government, as I have and as I know others at this table have, and we need to keep doing that until it's changed. But until it's changed, we have to play with the rules that we've got, regardless of whether we enjoy them or not.
Thank you. So I'm just going to put to the vote, and because I'm a little bit slow, I'm just going to ask those to raise their hands and say aye, and hold them up until I've recorded it, if that's okay, please. Okay, so all those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
So Cameron, House, Dudman, Dornoff. And those against? Loader, Simfield and Temple. So the motion is carried. Thank you. Okay. So we're going to move on to Hadspin. You can stay for Hadspin. Okay. You can stay, everyone in the gallery can stay for Hadspin if they like, or if they can leave. Thank you, George. Thanks, Benjamin. So I don't believe we have anyone in the gallery to speak on Hadspin, so I will move straight to calling for a mover for this motion. Councillor Loader, thank you. And Councillor Loader, happy to second it? Thank you. As a mover of the motion, Councillor Loader, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No.
Councillor Dudman?
Look, I'll continue to be the evil one of this meeting, apparently. Again, it's recommended for approval. I have read all the representations and acknowledged the concerns. However, I don't see a substantive reason for rejection, so I will be voting in favour of this application.
Thank you. Is there any other councillors that would like to make a comment, ask a question? Councillor Temple?
Did we have a seconder? I'm sorry.
We did. So it was Councillor Loader and Councillor Dolman.
I'm sure it was the seconder. it's mentioned about body corporate and insurance and all those sorts of things. I'm wondering what the experience is in other places within our community where there's a similar unit development with an Airbnb and no body corporate and insurance provisions. How do they get on? Are we treading new ground here?
I'll just move to the AGM, if that's okay, John.
I'm happy for the planning staff to contribute. I guess it's not really something that we can consider in this application, so it relates to the planning aspects. Perhaps we could have a discussion at workshop offline around some of those implications that you're raising, but it's not really the decision we're making today.
Thank you. Is there any further questions? Back to the mover and seconder of the motion. Anything else to add?
I would like to thank the people that wrote in, sent in representations. But yeah, I'll be supporting the motion.
Thank you, Councillor. Brenton, I feel like I should ask you if you've got anything to add, but appreciate your work on this.
No, nothing to add. Thank you, Deputy.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Oh, did you have another comment, John? Sorry, I didn't see.
Outside planning, are there any legal complications within this for council regarding body corporate and insurance? Because if we approve this, we're allowing something to happen which impacts potentially deleteriously on neighbours, and that's at the behest of council. So would they have a comeback on council if something happened?
Sure. So again, Deputy Mayor and the planning staff may like to contribute if they can, but no, Councillor, it's not relevant to the decision that we're making. It's a private matter. The insurance or not insurance of a property is a matter for the property owners to consider. In this case, it would be for the body corporate to consider. So it's not a matter that council would be involved with, and a risk area for council.
Thank you. So I've already been back to the mover and seconder, so I think we might go to the vote if everyone's comfortable. Okay, so all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hand. Cameron, Loder, House, Dugman, Dornoff, and those against? Simfield and Temple. Thank you. The motion is carried. Do I have to say something special to move out the planning? Move out the planning?
Yes.
Can we just move? Thank you. Thank you for this. Okay, so we're now no longer acting as a planning authority, and we're going to move on to the works item review of the 2023-24 capital works budget. Matthew, thank you. Did you have anything you wanted to add, Matthew, before I ask for a mover or a seconder?
No, nothing further from that.
Okay, great. Thank you. Is there a move for this motion? Thank you, Councillor House. A seconder? Thank you, Councillor. Oh, I nearly called you Councillor Loder. Sorry, Councillor Dornoff. Councillor House is the mover. Would you like to make any comment?
Oh, look, not a great deal. I think it's reasonably self-explanatory. Thank you, Matthew, for your work on that. It's really just changing one part of the budget items to another, and from everything that's been explained to us, it makes sense to do that. So, no, I'm happy to move it and approve it. I'll vote for it, at least three.
Councillor? Does anyone else like to make a comment? Councillor Sinfield?
Cheeky one, before I turn the volume up.
Can't wait.
The depot utility, we were going to get rid of it before we needed to, and we're now not, or just says it will be retained. But we were intending to get rid of it.
Yeah, so, through you, Deputy. Yeah. So we review, as stated in the report, review the fleet annually. And all that, and that's also, we have set guidelines where we're also guidelines, parameters that we put around the life of the plant. At that point in time, we determine usage, you know, kilometres, condition of the plant, and change in business. So that the trade item is set up. It's something that's quite adaptable across our whole business. It has reasonably low kilometres, the vehicle, overall in its life. And so, therefore, it could be better used and retained based on the trade value that we'd get across the business. Not to say that we won't necessarily come in a couple of years' time and look to trade that item out when it's done further work, but at this point in time, isn't a time that we would consider trading it, and the need in the business is to have an additional vehicle.
Thank you. Anything to add? Anybody else before I go back to Councillor Dornoff? No? Councillor House? Yep. So I'll put that to the vote. So all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. It's unanimous. Thank you. Motion carried. Thank you. So, corporate services. Council audit panel minutes of the meeting. Is there someone that would like to move that motion? Councillor Dudman? And a seconder? Very eager. Thank you, Councillor Dornoff. Councillor Dornoff, do you have anything as a seconder? Oh, sorry. I think it was more important than Councillor Dudman is the mover of the motion. I forgot about you.
You're lucky that this is not recorded. No, I think I've said enough about the Audit Committee at the last meeting, so I'll just take the minutes as read.
Thank you, Councillor Dudman, for that contribution.
My contribution to that, actually.
Any other comments from other councillors? No? I will take that to the vote then. So all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. Unanimous. Carried. Thank you very much, everybody, and thank you for your work on the audit panel. Okay, governance. Annual plan 2023-2024. Is there someone that would like to bring that motion?
Sure.
Councillor Dudman? And Councillor House? Thank you. Councillor Dudman, as the mover of the motion, would you like to make some comments?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Just to thank the council staff who have worked on this annual plan. It's obviously takes a lot of work, but it is good to see a coherent and well put out document detailing our vision for the year ahead.
Councillor House, would you like to make any comments?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Yes, just again, thank you and congratulations to everyone that's put this together. I think it's a very well laid out plan. I went through it yesterday and had a look, and if my adding up is correct, there's 142 core activities there, 142. I think they were the blue ones from memory, and 81 annual projects. So that's 223 items of business, I suppose, that the council gets involved in. It's an enormous amount of work. I just want to thank everyone for their efforts. Just more recently, we've had pretty good endorsement from the community about the work that the Mount Valley Council does. Very good endorsement, in fact. And I think this goes a long way to the reason why we've got that respect and endorsement, or at least the council has. So, yes, it's a mountain of work, and thank you, everyone, for doing everything that they do.
Couldn't agree with you more, Councillor House. Is there anybody else that'd like to make a comment? Councillor Lowe.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Yes, I think it's a very good-looking plan, but I'd also like to comment on the fact that there's some really good graphics in there that enable people who are either too busy to read a great big document or have low literacy to get a bit of a handle on what's in this annual plan. So I would like to commend staff for including those infographic type sections, because it does mean that more people can understand what's going on. So, yay.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that'd like to make a comment, or I can go back to Councillor House? Any further comment?
Lovely, thank you.
Councillor Dudman, happy to put it to the vote. So all those in favour, please say aye and raise your hands. Aye.
Aye.
So thank you, Cameron. Loder, House, you're abstaining. Rodney, no hand down. Yep, Councillor Temple, Councillor Dudman and Councillor Dornoff. All those against, say aye, raise your hands. No one's against. Councillor Simpson has abstained. Thank you, everybody. Okay, so can I please have a motion now to move into the closed meeting? I'm very enthusiastic over there, Councillor Dudman and Councillor Loder. Thank you very much. All those in favour of moving into the closed meeting? Oh, yes, great. Lovely. Meeting's closed. We will... I can just hang on what I can do.